Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. I hope you're all doing really well today. So we've got our part two of our creating awareness module today. Before we get there, I wanted to just mention a couple of logistics pieces. So first of all, someone had a question about certification and the homework assignments for certification. So for those of you that are working towards the certification, one of the requirements is to do all of the homework worksheets that I give you every week. And the question was, you know, how should those be submitted? Can those be done, you know, paper and pen or pencil writing, or do they have to be typed, you know, all of that? And the answer is you can do the homework in any way that works for you. I know that for some people, you know, when you're journaling, typing is best. I always like to write, actually journal, paper and pen, handwriting. But either way, you're not going to submit your actual homework assignments for certification, because quite honestly, that'd be way too much for me and my team to read through. And also, the journaling is just for you. I don't want you to feel like you have to censor it because other people might be reading it. So instead, you'll see in your member center that there is a sheet to fill out where it just has each homework assignment. And then you check off that you did it, right? And it's honor system. I know everybody in the program is honest and is going to do the work and all of that. So just check off as you do it. The second piece I wanted to mention is that I posted earlier this morning in the Facebook group a little recording of me doing a mini coaching session. It's a short little session. It's like 18, 20 minutes of coaching, and then I do a little bit of breakdown of skills. I posted it there for you just because I think it's always super helpful to observe other people coaching and to observe master coaching. It's just inspiring. It will up-level energy for you. And also for those of you that are a little bit newer to coaching, it will give you just a little bit more of a sense of flow and, you know, what the coaching conversation looks like. Feel free. I never post that at the very beginning of the program because I don't want you to feel like there's only one way to coach, right? I don't want you to just be like, oh, that's how Joanna did it, and I must emulate that exact thing, you know, for each session. I really believe deeply that you each will have your own way, and everything that I'm teaching you in Sacred Depths is just giving you different tools for you to develop your unique and powerful way of coaching. So it's a pretty quick listen, and I highly recommend listening to it. And then the last housekeeping piece that I wanted to mention is I know that many of you have already started with your coaching partners. You started to have your coaching partner sessions. Yay! Some of you are still kind of trying to figure out scheduling. That's yay, too. It's all good. But there are a couple of pieces I just wanted to mention around the partner coaching. So number one, I'm going to start, I always have to be on top of myself for this one piece, and I promise to you I'm going to start posting in the Facebook group every week what the coaching partner, the specific homework is, so you just have that written down for you. So I'm going to start doing that. And then the second thing that I wanted to mention is that for sake of ease, in this program, or else it would be an administrative nightmare, we just assign everybody that wants a coaching partner, we just partner you up with one other person, right? And we try to do our best to do it in time zones so that you can hopefully find, you know, times that work together. And there's a lot of value that you get from having the same coaching partner over a number of sessions, because you get to know the person, you get to start to really see patterns, connect dots, you know, all of those pieces. So there's a lot of value to having the same coaching partner. That being said, I also just want to throw out there that there's a lot of value in practicing with some different partners too, you know, to listen for different things, to get used to different people's energies, you know, all variety, like all the things, right? So if you guys want to supplement your coaching partner sessions by connecting with other people in the program and partnering with them for a couple of sessions or one session, you know, whatever it is, I highly, highly recommend doing that. And so you can do that just by posting in the Facebook group and saying, hey, I'm looking for some extra coaching partner sessions. Is anybody game, right? Or does anybody want to do a one-off or, you know, whatever it is. But if, as you have time permitting, or if, you know, with your partner you see that you're going to need to supplement some sessions, you feel free to reach out in the group. I will also, from time to time, post on it too, you know, to see if people want to do that. But I just wanted to let you know that that is 100% an option for you. I love it. I saw in the Facebook group that Lucia is starting to get people together just to connect. I love that. It makes me so happy. Connect in any and all ways that are going to be helpful and valuable for you. All right, let me just pause there on the housekeeping pieces and just see if there's any questions on anything I just shared or any other kind of housekeeping logistic questions that you've got. Star two. All right. So let us dive into the meat of our call today. So today we are going to dive into part two of our Creating Awareness module. Last session we looked at reflecting the truth. And today we're going to just do a couple of kind of pickup pieces around reflecting the truth that I wanted to give you. And then we're going to focus most of our time on the very important skill of acknowledging. And acknowledging may seem simple and easy at surface level, but it actually, when done masterfully, it contains way more than meets the eye. And so I'm really excited to share all those pieces with you. So let's talk a little bit about pre-framing when it comes to reflecting the truth, what we looked at last week. So when you're coaching, when you're in a coaching session, if you're going to use the standard way of reflecting the truth that I shared with you, and you've also got that in a resource sheet, if you're going to use the standard way and you know that you're about to reflect a truth with a client, and that truth has the potential to be a little bit triggering or a little bit uncomfortable or a little bit angry-making or shaming, you may want to consider pre-framing in step one of the standard way. And step one, if you remember, is you're asking permission. So it would look something like this. I'm noticing a pattern that I'd like to share with you. When I first mention it, it may have the potential to annoy you, but it feels important for us to look at it together. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? And if it annoys you, please let me know. Like, your annoyance is welcome here. Right, so that's one way that you can pre-frame when you're asking for permission. And here's just another way that you can pre-frame. So first you would ask the same way as we looked at last week. There's something I'm noticing about what you're sharing that you may not be aware of. Would you be open to me sharing it with you? Right, and then you get the permission. And then from there you would say, great. So it might sound a little odd or maybe even make you feel a little weird at first, but bear with me because I think there's going to be so much learning here for you. So these are both examples of pre-framing. When you pre-frame, you're already calling out the resistance or the trigger before your client has a chance to go into resistance or to be triggered. And for some people and in some situations, it can be a really powerful tool to avoid resistance or trigger. Or at the very least, it can be a really powerful tool in making your client aware of their reactions before they happen. It also signals to your client that whatever their reaction is to what you're going to share with them, whatever it is, their reaction is welcome in the coaching container and that you as their coach can handle it. Whatever their reaction is, if they get annoyed, if they get angry, if they get pissed off, right, whatever it is, and that the container can handle it, that it's normal to come up and that you can work through it. So a saying that I love to use that some of you may have heard me use before in other programming is an ounce of pre-framing is worth a pound of reframing. So in other words, sometimes when we pre-frame something, when we say to someone, this may have the potential to upset you or, you know, whatever it is, it can really take the sting out and just make any reaction okay so that they don't want to ditch the container and run away or hide or go into defense or, you know, whatever it is. All right, so that's the pre-framing piece that I just wanted to make sure that I shared with you here when it comes to reflecting the truth. So last week we got out of the way the harder reflecting the truth. We really looked at, you know, how to reflect the hard truths as a way of creating awareness. I did want to just briefly take a look at another way to easily create awareness that really many situations are going to call for. And this is kind of like a simple skill for reflecting the truth when it's not a hard truth necessarily. So you want to reflect the truth after a client shares either something significant or something with a lot of detail. So last week we looked at, you know, when you want to reflect a hard truth, right? But then there are other times where we want to do reflecting, and it's after a client either shares something really important, you want to make space around it, you want to create awareness around it, or you also want to create awareness and reflect after a client maybe has shared a long story or something with a lot of detail. And this is a real simple way that you can do it. Number one, whether it's after something significant has just been said or a long story, a lot of details, you say, let's pause here for a moment, right? So you really want to, I always like to say, let's take a moment and pause here. Let's pause here for a moment. Or you just said something really important. Let's pause here. Or you just said a lot. Let's pause here. And the reason why I do that when I'm reflecting the truth is because it punctuates, right? It punctuates the flow, and it opens up to create space for the awareness that is being created, for the truth that is being reflected. And then from there, I'll say, this is what I'm hearing, and I want to make sure I'm getting it right. Now, that's particularly if somebody has just shared something with a lot of details. You've just shared a lot, and this is what I'm hearing. I want to reflect it back to you to make sure that I'm getting it right. Now, of course, we're reflecting it to make sure that we're getting it right, but we're also reflecting it to create deeper awareness, because we're going to reflect back the important pieces that we've heard in all of the details that they've just shared. Or if they've just shared something significant, you're going to maybe want to say, I just heard something really important, and I want to reflect it back to you to make sure that I'm getting it right. Again, yes, we want to make sure that we, as the practitioner, are getting it right, but also it's a moment of pause to create that awareness, right, that we spoke about last week, so that our client can take in something deeply for themselves. Because a lot of times a client will say something really significant that they need to get or own or see, but even though they've said it, they actually don't have awareness around it. And it's such a powerful tool to be able to reflect that back. So let's pause for a moment. This is what I'm hearing. I want to make sure I'm getting it right. And then from there, you reflect back. You emphasize the most important parts that are wanting emphasis. And you may use the client's own language when you reflect back, but also to create awareness, you might insert new words or phrases that the client hasn't used that will really help reflect the truth. So this is such a beautiful, powerful, elegant, and simple and effective way to help your clients feel seen, heard, and loved, as well as to create awareness. Again, because sometimes clients speak the truth, but even though they've spoken it, they haven't fully taken it in. So this is a mirroring technique that gives them space and opportunity to take their truth in. So for those of you that were on the bonus listening practicum yesterday, I did this with Siobhan. I can't remember the exact thing that Siobhan said, but she was talking and she said something like, I really need to be easier on myself. But she said it quickly and I could tell like she didn't fully take it in, right? So that's a moment to say, I want to pause here. What I heard you just say, and it's so important, and I want to make sure that you're taking it in, that your inner wisdom knows that you're really ready and that you deserve to be easier on yourself. It's time, right? So did you guys notice, even in what I just modeled, I paused, I reflected back, and I did it, my tone, I slowed things down, right, as I was reflecting back. The tone is so important. I slowed it down so that the client could really take it in. So this is really mirroring, right? It's a mirroring technique when we reflect in this way. And mirroring is an incredibly powerful tool. So I'm not great at explaining science all of the time, but I will just share, and some of you probably already know this, that as human beings, we have inside of us mirror neurons. We actually have neurons, and the specific purpose of these neurons in our cells is for mirroring and taking in mirroring. So the best example I can give of the power of mirroring is that babies fully utilize these mirroring neurons. So in other words, when a baby smiles, if the adult mirrors that smile back to the baby, the baby is then validated in and of herself. It actually creates self-validation for the baby that her emotion was mirrored back. If a baby grimaces and the adult grimaces, you know, mirrors that grimace back, the baby's mirror neurons take them in and derive pleasure from it and validation. As adults, we need this ourselves, right? We need that kind of validation. And when our coaches, as coaches, when we can mirror things that are said, it helps our clients take it in much more deeply. As an aside, mirroring is also a great tool for sales calls, for enrollment conversations. So I remember reading once or seeing a video once, I can't remember what it is, that it was actually speaking about mirroring, and it was saying, like, the best salespeople, if they're in person, if the person that they're selling to, if the prospect leans in, the salesperson leans in, like, literally their body. And if the prospect leans out or crosses their arms, then a second or two later, the salesperson crosses their arms. In other words, they're mirroring back, and what it does is it helps the prospect feel connected to the salesperson. It helps the prospect feel seen and heard. They don't even realizing it. This is all happening unconsciously, right, and validated. Well, we can do that with our words in sales calls as well. When we reflect the truth, right, when we mirror back what we hear, we're activating those mirror neurons with our prospect. All right, let me pause here before we get into acknowledging. That's where we're going to do our deep dive today. But I just want to see if there are any questions on pre-framing, mirroring, and just reflecting the simple truths, not the harder truths, star two. Any questions or what you're seeing for yourself on this? Any takeaways from this? Anyone want to share? Anything you're seeing or noting? No? Okay. Hopefully, I will trust that you guys are getting it. But please post takeaways in the Facebook group. Let me know. All right. So, let's move on. We're going to be looking at acknowledging today. And we're going to be looking at two types of acknowledging today. The first type of acknowledging, and acknowledging, by the way, is a creating awareness skill. And you'll see what I mean by this. So the first type of acknowledging that I want to take a look at today is what I call, and what we call in sacred depth, honoring what is. Honoring what is. Super important. So what does that mean? What does honoring what is mean? When we as practitioners can honor what is with a client, we help them. Well, here, let me actually take a step back. So when I say honoring what is, what I mean is honoring, excuse my language, the crappy and shitty and not so savory things that happen in our clients' lives. Traditionally, coaching has been a cheerleading practice, and we'll get to that. Cheerleading has its place. Rah-rahing people on is certainly motivating in the right situation and inspiring, you know, all of that. At the same time, a big thing that coaching has left out of the equation, which sacred depth coaching does not, is the ability to really hold space for a client when not so fun or not so savory or not so pleasing things happen in their lives. This is so important because I don't care who you are. You can be the most sparkly, motivated, successful, lucky person in the world. Inevitably, and again, excuse my language, I think some of you know I have a little bit of a potty mouth, like shit's going to come up, right? And if we only rah-rah, if we only cheerlead, if we only push past to look at the positive, we are denying our clients deeply the space to express, to feel seen, and to feel heard in their experience. And what I have really learned, and this is a client skill, and this is like a people skill, you know, with all relationships in my life, and also in my relationship with myself, that it is vital, vital, vital to honor what is, even when it is not so savory. So honoring what is means helping clients to feel confirmed and validated in what they're feeling or experiencing. It means helping clients to know that they have a right to feel exactly how they're feeling, no matter what the feeling is. Honoring what is means helping clients to know that they're not weird or abnormal for struggling or for feeling the way that they do. Honoring what is means supporting a client to become aware of or to connect more deeply with what they're really feeling and experiencing. Honoring what is means supporting a client to be able to deeply accept their situation or parts of themselves. Honoring what is means supporting clients to trust themselves. And honoring what is means helping clients to feel nourished even in situations that don't work out as planned. So let me give you just some practical examples of what honoring what is might look like in a coaching conversation. So and these are just some examples. Like, there's so many, but I think these examples will help, right? So let's say a client is sharing that, I'm going to put this in a business context. Let's say a client is sharing that they were doing a presentation that was hosted by another organization, and they thought that their presentation was going to be at 11, and so they were planning on going on at 11. There was going to be like a whole intro thing from 10 to 11 that didn't really include them, and they get to the event at 10, and at like 5 after 10, the host calls them onto the stage, and they're just so thrown off by going on at, you know, 5 after instead of, you know, at 11, an hour later, that they kind of stumbled through the first part of their presentation, right? So as the coach, you want to honor what is. Right? So you might, for example, say, ooh, that would have surprised me also, or that would have thrown me also, right? You're honoring what is. Or that must have been really frustrating. That must have been really frustrating, right? Or let's say a client shares about a fight that they had with their sister, and their sister like really told them off, and it was really awful. Before you jump to solutions, right? Before you jump to strategizing with the client, before anything, you want to honor what is. So you may say something like, that sounds like it was really tough. Like, ooh, that sounds like it was really painful. So what does this do? Again, it validates the client's experience. It lets them know that they have a right to feel how they're feeling. And it may also have the potential to help them connect more deeply, right? Maybe they told the story of the sister and they're just looking for a solution, but they haven't yet just connected in with the pain of it. Well, when you as the coach honor what is, this has to come right straight out of your listening skill too, and you hear like, oh, my client actually isn't in their feelings here. They're not honoring, you know, how the impact this is having on them. They're not honoring the pain, right? So you may want to honor what is in the way of saying, this sounds like it was really painful, right? Just that statement alone creates awareness around the feeling. And then it can lead to a deeper discussion of it or just to hold space for the feeling. Now, you may say, oh, that sounds like it was really painful. And your client may pause for a moment and say, actually, no, you know what it is? I'm really sick and tired of this, right? That's great, too. So you may not have hit it on the nail with the painful, but it's holding a space for the client to go deeper into how it feels for them. And you're honoring what is. Here's some other examples of honoring what is. Let's say you have a client that worked really hard on a project or a goal, and it didn't work out the way that they wanted to, right? So sometimes that happens when I'm coaching. You know, I'll prepare with a client for a lunch or this or that, and it didn't work out the way they wanted it to. Well, of course, at some point in that session, we're going to get to strategizing. We're going to get to how they can do things differently so that they can reach their goal. We may even get to, like, different mindset, right, or addressing fears or blocks or obstacles, all of that. But before I do any of that, the very first thing I'm going to do is honor what is. And I might say something like, I know that you worked really hard on that, and you gave it so much, and of course you're disappointed. I would be disappointed too. I'm disappointed also for you, right? Like, whatever it is, but you're going to honor what is. Here are some other examples. A couple of years ago in the Into the Depth facilitator training, one of the women in the room was talking about a frustration that she was having with her mother, an ongoing pattern. I could feel that there was a lot of frustration, but that also the client wasn't honoring that a big part of the frustration was that she loves her mother so much and just doesn't have the space to express that. I just paused and I looked straight at the client, the participant, and I honored what is. I just looked straight at her and I just said, you love your mom so much. Right? I just honored what was. There's all this turmoil with the mother, all of the everything, all of the frustration, right? Which she was aware of. She didn't need more awareness created around that. But she did need awareness. She did need acknowledgement of the love, right? I just looked at her, and then it broke her open. Just those words of honoring what is. You love your mom so much. And it just, she broke into tears, really productive tears of like the beginning of a healing process there. Because we created awareness, we acknowledged, we honored what is around the love. Here are a couple of other examples. Let's say you've got a client and they're talking about a romantic relationship or a work relationship, and they're just giving all of these examples of how the relationship isn't working anymore, and they've tried this way and that way, and like nothing is moving and all this stuff, but they haven't actually said the words that they feel like they're done with the relationship, right? Because it's hard, it's painful to honor that, right? You might honor what is and pause there and say, it sounds like you've really put so much into this, and I think I'm hearing that you've moved beyond that relationship, right? Just honoring what is. Sometimes honoring what is you know, saying something like, let's say a client is sharing a really bad situation that happened, but you hear that she held her composure, right? Sounds like you really held your composure in a tough situation, and you held it in a way that most people couldn't. Sounds like you gave it your best shot, right? I'll give you one other example, because this is something that can come up. Sometimes you'll work with a client on a fear, and you'll see when we get to our Befriend Your Fear module, we'll go deep into that. And they've really worked through it. But then like 3 months later, they're doing something and the fear comes up again. And they get really, there's human tendency, they'll get really frustrated. They'll be like, I worked through that already. Like, I haven't learned anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, they'll just be sideswiped with the fear, right? So sometimes honoring what is saying something like, that's an old fear that you've worked through. And you know how to work through. You know how to work through it, and it's just coming up now to remind you to blah blah blah. Right, whatever is related to the fear. That's another way that you can honor what is. Okay, so what does honoring do? As I said, it helps your clients feel seen, heard, and loved. And it deepens their connection to you as their practitioner. When you can really honor what is, it helps clients feel more vulnerable with you and more willing to have a breakthrough through the vulnerability. Honoring what is and honoring the truth allows a client to see something they otherwise wouldn't have seen and then process it in the space. And then navigate it, take actions on it if need be. When we as practitioners acknowledge as a way of honoring, then it gives permission for our clients to honor their own experiences and feelings and literally or metaphorically take a deep sigh of relief. So what I mean by that is it is human tendency, and check this out even for yourself, even those of us that are evolved. I mean, I find for myself, I continually have to work on this for myself, even though I teach it, right? In our own lives, we tend to really judge ourselves and judge our situations and fight against and make wrong and all the things, when what we really need to be doing is honoring our experiences and honoring all of the gamut of feelings. When our clients see us remember, energy follows energy, right? So when they see us as their coach, their practitioner, their healer, honoring what is, it gives them permission to do so. And when we honor what is, like I said, it's like taking a deep sigh of relief, right? It's just, it's being able to name the thing and just be with it in full honesty, not hide from it, not be ashamed of it, not have it be in our blind spot. It really sucked that, right, blah, blah, blah happened, right? To just really be able to honor that. So when we honor what is, one thing, one of the many things that we're doing when we honor what is empathizing. Sometimes clients need empathizing way more than what we traditionally think of as coaching, like way more than rooting them on, than strategizing, than asking questions. Of course, there are times and moments for all of that. But there are some moments where what our clients need most is empathy and space to be held for them to be validated in what they are feeling. It can be a very powerful experience when you are being empathized with. And in fact, if you look even at most personal relationships, not, you know, forget about even coaching relationships, of course, but even when you look at personal relationships, oftentimes when there's a disconnect in a personal relationship, it's because the one person doesn't feel empathized with, right? That goes back to feeling seen and heard. I once read the following quote that is for me a game changer, and it relates to everything that we're talking about here. Here's the quote. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. I'm going to say that again. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. When we honor what is, we are truly, it's one of the ways, there's many ways that we show our love to our clients. And I do, other people may say otherwise, but I'm just telling you, like, this is what I really believe, and this is part of the Sacred Depths coaching philosophy, is one of our roles as coach is to love our clients and create a space for them to feel loved, so that they can take that in and go out into the world loving themselves more. Honoring what is one of the many tools that we have as Sacred Depths coaches to love our clients and create an environment of love for them. Now, sometimes as practitioners, we might have trouble honoring what is. And there are a couple of reasons why. So, and just check these out for yourself if any of these are rolling around for you. It's just good to be aware of. So first of all, sometimes we have trouble or we resist honoring what is with our clients because it really is a skill to be able to hold space for uncomfortable or painful things, right? So do you maybe resist honoring what is because you feel uncomfortable with discomfort? Sometimes coaches or practitioners have trouble honoring what is with their clients because they, in their own lives, don't have space for honoring what is, right? So they feel uncomfortable with that. they are only comfortable with like extreme positivity. You guys probably have all seen, I've written about this. If not, I'll also post this article in the Facebook group. Like, positivity is great. All about positivity. I don't want to knock positivity, but if we're only light chasers with ourselves, with others, it's really hard to be able to hold space for when things aren't so cheery, right? Sometimes coaches or practitioners resist or shy away from honoring what is because they feel like whatever the sucky thing is a reflection on the coaching they've done, which it is not. Sucky things just happen. It is part of life. Right? But I do know sometimes practitioners just won't go there in terms of the honoring that something isn't working, honoring that something isn't working well, honoring what's kind of sucky because they're afraid that it's going to look like they're admitting that they haven't done a good coaching job with this client. Not true. Not true at all. And then another reason why sometimes coaches can resist honoring what is because our modern society is very solution-focused. And, of course, finding solutions, creating solutions, executing solutions, we do that. It's a big part of coaching and sacred depths coaching. We want to find solutions, but before we find solutions, we need to honor what is. The best solutions are found when we have first been honest and made space for honoring what is. So there's no one way to honor what is. You know, I gave you lots of different examples. Everybody has their own style, their own energy. For me, a lot of the times, for example, when I'm honoring what is, I tend to have this energy of getting deep and serious, but sometimes it'll be with a tinge of playfulness too, right? So, you know, practice, every situation is going to call for its own energy in terms of honoring what is. Sometimes it is a little playful. Sometimes it is very serious. For those of you, and not everybody does, but for those of you that sometimes use a potty mouth or cursing, and I know for some people that's like off limits and that's totally cool, but if you are somebody who, you know, sometimes will drop a curse for in the right moment, sometimes that can be used when honoring what is. But what's important is to give it space, consider the tone of voice that it needs, and then after you honor it, pause. Create a moment of silence and allow your client to respond. Okay, so let me pause there. And I want everybody to take a moment and just write down what feels most important for you? What are you seeing for yourself when it comes to honoring what is as a tool for creating awareness for clients? What's really coming to the surface for you? What are you seeing is important here? And I'd love to hear either what you're seeing or any questions that you have on honoring what is. You guys are being quiet today, so I want to hear from... Oh, good. We've already got some hands raised. Who is this? Is this Swati?
Hello?
Hi. Who is that?
Hi. It's Brenda. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Awesome. What are you seeing or what question do you have?
So I think it's something that kind of permeates, I think, kind of across our industry, the toxic positivity.
Uh-huh.
And I'll post this in a group, but I was recently listening to a podcast with Elizabeth Dialto, and one of her guests was talking about how she doesn't believe in the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm noticing is that not all of us, but there are coaches out here that are sort of new thought, self-improvement, and The Secret came up, and the big law was the law of attraction. So I think what happens is, because we don't want our clients, or I'll use an I statement, previously I didn't want my clients to go into a negative train of thought,
yeah,
which would attract these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, you know, even myself, but what I had to sit with, and I'm still processing around, even if you don't say it, it's still in your body. It's still in you.
Yeah.
So how do we, you know, of course, as coaches, I don't believe it's our job to change someone's belief system, but, or I should say, and, I'm noticing that movement, this ideology of the law of attraction or the way it's explained, it is toxic and it is harmful because it does not allow people to sit with what is. We want to move. We want to do a lot of emotional and spiritual bypassing. So that's what's coming up.
I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. I've also written an article about this, and I'll post it in the group, but I'm so glad that you're bringing it here into this discussion. So I agree. I actually, and no judgment on anyone that follows law of attraction, I do believe in law of attraction, but not in the way that most people in the industry translate it, which is exactly what you're saying, which it can become about bypassing the feelings that need to be felt. It can also be used as a weapon by people of privilege. And so that's why it's even more important. Of course, positive thinking, of course we want that, and that can help attract what we want, but we need to honor what is first and be honest about what is first. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Let's see who's next. I think this is Kim. Is that you, Kim?
Yes. Hi, Joanna. How are you?
Okay. Good. How are you?
Good. It's so great that you're talking about this, because I was just really mulling a lot of this over the last couple of weeks. I've been went into a business to be their top performing coach that is on site, and I'm noticing this pattern within this group of high performing individuals. There's almost like this addiction to what's going right and to what's working and to what's positive. And, you know, I like your concept you said of like light chasing. And I've been wondering how to break through that with them to help them kind of understand, right, that the true authenticity requires really embracing all of who we are, right? Like the not so good pieces, along with the light, because that emotional authenticity is really, I think, what catapults us into those breakthroughs.
Yeah.
So I wondered if you had any thoughts. I mean, obviously, like, you know, building awareness, and I've been trying to kind of seed this possibility of, like, you know, that it's more authentic to explore all of who we are.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering what your thoughts are, maybe where I could go to get them to think about that, because it's almost like their self-critic is so high.
Right.
But I think
because
it's
they're not
cute.
Yes. So, so first of all, you just articulated it so well. I want you to actually go back to this recording because you used some really beautiful and powerful words to speak about it. And I think that what you're talking about is actually about reflecting a truth, this truth to them, right? Like creating awareness around this.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense is to speak what you just shared. And then back to last week, I would use a personal anecdote to illustrate the power of owning all of the parts, of absolutely leaning into the positive, which, by the way, we're going to get into the second part of this call, but also how it has helped you in your own business by willing to also honor the not-so-savory pieces, right? Because sometimes when we give a personal anecdote either for ourselves or maybe you can speak from another client that you've worked with the story, right? Like when we give the story, number one, it just illustrates it in a really compelling way where it really paints a picture. Mm-hmm. It gives it examples of why it works, like it's proof, right? Like of why they should invest in this idea. Mm-hmm. And then it normalizes it as well.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Thank you for that. That's helpful. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. All right. Got a lot of hands raised, which I really like, but I also got a lot more that I want to share with you today. So I think I'm going to just take one, maybe two more shares or questions, and then we'll continue on, and I'll have time at the end. Lucia.
Hi, Joanna. Can you hear me?
I can. I'm hearing my own echo in the background.
Still?
Yeah. If you have me on speaker,
you
might want to turn the speaker off.
No, I don't.
That's really weird. I hear myself every time I'm talking.
Okay, maybe I can just talk then. And you don't have to hear yourself.
Okay, sounds good.
There's just one small thing that I want to pull out, which was super important for me listening to speech. And that was that it's sometimes just so much more important or so essential that we validate the feelings instead of just jumping into solution finding, you know, that we just want to be heard and our clients just want to be heard in this and not necessarily have a solution presented right away, but having first this moment of like, oh yeah, acknowledgement of like, oh, it's okay to feel how I feel. It's okay to not always feel rose red.
Yeah, 100%. I'm really glad you're pulling that out because it is so powerful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, the validation piece you just don't want to underestimate the power of it. Okay, I know that we've got other hands raised. I want to get to all of you, and I want to hear your takeaways and your questions, but I do want to – we still have one other form of acknowledging that I want to make sure we get to today. So let's jump into that first. So we're going to go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Well, I shouldn't say the opposite end of the spectrum, but I think it's a nice compliment to honoring what is. The other way that we can acknowledge, right, and again, this is a way of creating awareness, is through celebrating. Celebrating is similar to honoring what is, one of the most powerful coaching skills that you can have. It is incredibly effective and powerful for helping clients reach their goals. And it's a vital part of my own coaching practice. And, you know, as hopefully you're starting to see and we'll see as we continue to move through this call, when you really – and every client is going to have their right combination of honoring what is and celebrating, but the two really work together. So why is celebrating so powerful? Because successful actions, after you've honored what is, successful actions and aligned visioning stem from what's working and what's going well, not from what's going wrong. So, of course, we want to honor what is, but we don't want to get stuck in only focusing on the negative, which, by the way, is not what honoring what is. It's not focusing on the negative, right? But our clients have a tendency to do that sometimes. When we can celebrate masterfully with our clients what is going well and what is working, it helps cultivate confidence, self-love, self-compassion, hope, satisfaction. And then all of this leads to deeper motivation, to helping our clients be connected to their inner wisdom and to their positive energy, right? Always in right balance with honoring what is. What I have found overall is that while it can be helpful to, and this is different than honoring what is, and if anybody doesn't understand the distinction, please ask, but I think you probably do. There's a difference between honoring what is and finding creative solutions to things that aren't working versus spending a lot of energy on fixing deficiencies. In my experience, in my own life, whether it's in business or relationships or health or whatever it is, and then in my experience in supporting clients, is that energy is best spent leveraging assets and developing assets versus fixing deficiencies that likely can't be fixed, right? And for any of you that are familiar with this term, there's philosophy out there called strengths-based philosophy that's all about this, right? Whether it's business or, you know, performance or relationships, whatever, we want to work off of our strengths. I believe deeply that our job, one of our jobs as practitioners, as transformational practitioners, is to not only celebrate with our clients what's going well, but to teach our clients how to internalize the skill of celebrating themselves. So yes, we want to celebrate with them, and then we want to act as a model for teaching them how to more regularly celebrate themselves. Because again, when people can celebrate themselves, it does create more confidence, self-love, self-compassion, hope, satisfaction, motivation, connection to, you know, all of the things. Okay, so here's the thing, and this is really important, and this is something that other trainings don't address, but it is a truth, because it can sound like, okay, great, celebrating, it's so easy, right? Yeah, like that's going to be the easiest thing that we do with clients, celebrate their successes. But the truth is that human beings generally have a lot of trouble celebrating themselves. And this is precisely why celebrating is such an important creating awareness skill and acknowledgement skill. Because by and large, you will see your clients have trouble celebrating themselves on their own, even if they have a celebration practice. That's big, right, in the industry right now. Everybody knows about a celebration practice. Because people tend to have trouble celebrating themselves, it makes it challenging for coaches when they don't understand the human behavior behind celebrating, as well as their own behaviors and beliefs around celebrating. And that's why here in Sacred Depths, we're going to look at all of that. So if you don't understand human behavior on celebrating and you don't know how to navigate it, then when you go to celebrate something with your client, it has the potential to end up shutting the client down or upsetting them, having the client lose trust in you, having the client silently agree with whatever it is that you're acknowledging and celebrating, but not really take it seriously. I'm going to say that again, right? Now, in many situations, you're going to acknowledge a celebration, and it's going to land great, right? Like, oh, you filled that program. Yay, that was so awesome. You worked so hard on it. Great. Or, you know, you like it sounds like that date went amazing, right? Or, wow, you are really such an intuitive person. Like, everything that you just shared with me shows how intuitive you are, right? Like, sometimes that's going to land beautifully. But sometimes, and for some clients, when you celebrate, it may, again, shut them down, upset them. It may have them lose trust in you. If they don't know how to celebrate themselves, right, they may not believe you. Or they might silently agree, but not really take it in, not take it seriously. So why is it that our clients, that human beings, have trouble celebrating? These are the pieces we want to understand because it will help us with our delivery of the celebrations. Well, there are a number of reasons why people may have trouble celebrating themselves. Number one, we tend to focus on the negative and on what isn't working. Again, different than honoring what is, as we were talking about before. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because they get an icky feeling when they're being acknowledged, right? They get this feeling of like, don't see me, it's not true. Or if you believe this about me now, it's not going to happen again. Or oh, I'm such a fraud, I've convinced this person that I'm smart. I've convinced the coach that I'm smart, but I'm really not, right? They get an icky feeling when they're being acknowledged. For some people, they have trouble celebrating because they don't want to set themselves up to be hopeful and then fail, right? Like, oh, it's so awesome. I already filled half my program, right? But, oh my gosh, like evil eye, you know, I'm not going to fill the rest of it. Some people have trouble celebrating because they were taught, and particularly women are taught, that it's obnoxious to really think highly of ourselves and our accomplishments. Some people, like I said, it's the evil eye. I don't want to celebrate this because then it's all going to go downhill. Some people have trouble celebrating because they just deeply cannot see their goodness or the amazingness. They just don't think it's that good. It might be because their expectations are totally unrealistic of who they're supposed to be or what they're supposed to achieve. So when they do achieve something that's pretty amazing, it doesn't seem amazing to them. Some people have trouble celebrating because they don't really know how to receive. We'll go into this one later. In the program. Some people have trouble celebrating because they're already on to the next thing. Okay, I check that box off. I accomplished that, but now I have to accomplish this, right? And then it's like they just bypass when amazing big things happen. So probably as I'm describing all of this, some pieces are feeling familiar, maybe, to you. So let's do a little bit of inner work on this. Because to be able to truly celebrate our clients and have those celebrations be effective, you must be able to feel comfortable as the coach, as the practitioner, celebrating others and celebrating yourself. Energy follows energy. The words are going to be hollow if you are not fully comfortable with it. So let's just take a little bit of a closer look. Journal on this for a moment. How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? Next question to consider, when you were celebrated by your family of origin, what was their motivation? Was the motivation, for example, to be truly supportive of you? Was the celebration to pretend that everything was okay when it really wasn't? Was the celebration to pressure you to continue to perform well? I know I have to watch that with my own kids, right? Like to celebrate when they achieve in school, to celebrate. But sometimes there's this like other energy that might come in of like, oh, if I celebrate this, then they're going to want to keep on going and perform well, right? Were you celebrated to compare you to your siblings or others in your family? Or what else? What was the motivation when you were celebrated? We need to be really clean when we're coaching on our motivation for celebrating. And then alongside with that question, this is another in on that one, what was the spoken or unspoken message behind the ways that you were celebrated or not celebrated? What was that? What was the message, spoken or unspoken, behind the ways that you were celebrated or not celebrated? Was, if you weren't ever celebrated, was the unspoken message you're not a person of value? You're not good enough for this family. You're disappointing. You're a disappointment. Give you another moment with this one. Couple of other questions to think about. By thinking about these, it helps you get more clean when you're coaching, but it also will help you kind of get into the mind of your clients. You'll recognize certain behaviors and energies. So next question, how did role models or authority figures respond to you if you celebrated yourself? So historically, how have role models or authority figures responded to you if you celebrated yourself? Were they happy for you when you were happy with yourself and celebrating? Or did they somehow communicate to you that you were getting too big for your britches? Were they scared that you might jinx yourself? Something else? What? How historically have role models or authority figures, family members responded to you if you celebrated yourself? Because this could be a theme also for a client that has trouble celebrating themselves. You may want to look into this question, right, for them. A couple of other questions for you to consider. Do you tend to focus more on the negative or the positive? Again, I'm not talking about honoring what is, but I'm talking about like addiction to negativity, right? And just to normalize this, I just want, and we're going to do a whole module on negative thinking, but just to normalize this, I just want you to know, like, I personally am prone to negative thinking, and I have to work very hard to override that for myself. It's gotten easier over the years with techniques that I'll teach you in the rewiring module, but just for you to take a note now, like, do you tend to focus more on the positive or the negative, on your assets or on your deficiencies or on a particular situation's assets or deficiencies? where do you fall there? It's important for you to know this also as a coach, right? Again, we want to honor what is, but we want to make sure that we don't have a filter of focusing more on negative or on deficiencies, because that's not going to be helpful for our client. And then last journaling question for now, how do you personally receive compliments? Important to know, because again, for our clients, they may have trouble, like I said earlier, receiving compliments, right? They might get that icky feeling when they're being acknowledged for something amazing. We want to understand that, right? How do you personally receive compliments? What are the thoughts and feelings that go through your head when someone is like, oh, you're amazing as a practitioner, or you look really beautiful today, or whatever it is? All right, I know those were all really juicy questions that we went through in a very short period of time. I'm going to guess that a lot has come up from them. I want to hear shares on it, but not in this moment. I want to just get through one more piece, and then I'm going to open up for shares and questions and takeaways. So last piece is the when and how do we celebrate with our clients, acknowledge and celebrate our clients. There are a couple of places and things I want you to think about. So first of all of, as you guys know, I always have clients fill out prep forms before sessions, you know, pre-call forms, pre-session forms. And one of the questions that I always ask them to answer before every session are, what are some things that you want to celebrate? I always put in at least like three blank bullet points there, because I want them to put in more. I want them to do the work, the practice, the building the muscle of looking for things to celebrate, at least three things, right? And again, this is number one, so I can know what they're celebrating. We can celebrate it together. But two, to build their muscle. Remember I said before, part of our role, I think, as a Sacred Depths coach is not only to celebrate with our clients, but to teach them how to celebrate themselves through persistent and consistent practice. We have it on the prep forms. Also, at the beginning of almost any client session that I do, I mean, we'll always set intentions first. That's part of setting the container that we spoke about a number of sessions ago. But another container setting piece is I will usually say, you know, I know we've got a lot to talk about today, but I want to, and I know you may have written about this in your prep form, but like, what's the celebration that you really want to express in this space? What is something that you really want to be seen for, right? So beginning of sessions, I'll always, you know, at least spend a minute on that and celebrating. And of course, I don't let the client just share it. I will mirror back after that to them to help validate or to pull out deeper pieces. Sometimes we'll spend the first half of a session celebrating, or a whole session celebrating, by the way. It may not just be in the beginning, right? Like, sometimes it is very useful to just celebrate, particularly with a client that has been taking a lot of action, does not have the tendency to take a moment and pause and integrate and take in all that they've done. Sometimes you're going to spend more on that, not just first minute of the session. Anytime I'm working with a client to start a new project, one of the things we will do before we strategize around the project, obviously we'll vision, we'll have a whole session on visioning in Sacred Depths. We'll get there in a couple after the new year. But the other thing that I'll do at the beginning of a project is list assets. Right? Like, what are the assets, what are the resources that this client has that are going to help them achieve their vision, their new project whatever it is, that's a form of celebrating, right? It's acknowledging things that are really working well. When we list the assets, it helps them see that what they want to accomplish is way more doable, number one. It gives them more confidence. Number two, like I said earlier, I feel like success is based when we leverage assets, not try to fix deficiencies. So when I'm, like, for example, working on a new launch with a client, we're going to look at all the things that they're already really strong at in launches and leverage that instead of trying to, you know, if they just really hate doing videos, unless they have extra time, I'm not going to look at doing videos with them. I'm going to leverage that maybe they're really great at writing. They're really great at voice-to-voice. We're going to leverage those things. Of course, we're going to celebrate with clients just as it comes up in a session. They're talking about something. They mention something. We notice as the practitioner a strength or a success. We're going to take a moment and pause and acknowledge it, celebrate it, share it, validate it. Another way that I celebrate with clients, and this is really important, I really like to let my clients know in different ways and just different times when I acknowledge and celebrate how much that I respect, honor, and admire them. So I am always just cognizant, whether it's through words or through the energy of my voice, and just in different ways, wherever it's appropriate to insert in, that I really respect, honor, and admire this person, this client. I really believe that another one of our roles as a coach is to support our clients in knowing that they are a person of value. I'm going to say that again because this is so important. In the sacred depths philosophy, one of the sacred roles of a coach, of a practitioner, is to support our clients in knowing that they are a person of value. Because as human beings, we tend to devalue ourselves. But when we choose someone to be our coach, like by kind of usually, let's say 9 times out of 10, we honor and respect their opinion. And when we see that that coach mirrors back to us, that they respect us, that they admire us, that they see our strengths, that they see us as a person of value, it helps us integrate that for ourselves. This is, I get chills every time I share this, because this is a sacred act. Sacred act. All right, other times or ways to celebrate with clients. We want to cheer. We do. Sometimes we want the rah-rah, right? We do sometimes want to cheer our clients on or encourage them, right? Everybody needs a cheering section, right? Think about sports. I'm not a sports person, so I'm about to botch this up. But from what I know about sports, when teams have a cheering section, when, you know, especially like when they're on home, on their home field and they have more of their fans, they're more likely to win, right? Everybody needs a cheering session. But here's the thing. I love to cheer my clients on. I encourage them, all of that. But, this is a very important but, you always want to do this with honesty and not exaggerated. The moment you start to rah-rah on something that isn't true, on something that you don't believe that your client can achieve, or in an exaggerated way, your client will smell it. And they will know that you are, again, excuse my language, blowing sunshine up their ass. And then you will not, your celebrations will no longer be trustworthy with them. A couple other ways that you can celebrate that I want to make sure I mention. Another way is holding your client's vision for them. Sometimes as we're working with clients to help move them towards what they want for themselves, they will lose a little bit of hope or doubt right? Part of our job as a coach, and this is part of how we cheer them on, is to hold the vision for them when they can't hold it for themselves. You've got this. You can do this. I see this for you. I really believe that this is possible for you. This is especially important when the belief of I can't or I'll never be able to can come up, right? Or if a client is risk averse. We want to help hold that vision, let them know that they can take the risk. There may be more deeper inner work that we have to do around that. We'll get to all of that and befriend your fear and all the other stuff. But we also do just like the you've got this piece is important in moments. Sometimes a simple congratulations, right? Like a client will tell me this is an amazing thing that they achieved in their business or whatever. I just, a real like authentic congratulations. That is amazing, right? That's a form of celebrating. Okay. I think I'm going to pause here. I've given you guys a lot today. I'm going to give you your homework in a moment. And we'll open up for Q&A also. But first, just take a moment. What are you taking away from our call today? What feels really important? Something you discovered about yourself, something higher level that you're seeing. What's a takeaway? We looked at a lot today. So first, I just really want to encourage you to post your takeaways in the group. I can respond to them. Speaking of celebrating, like you'll get to be seen, right? And then integrate more deeply what you are taking away. It's great to see each other's takeaways. We learn from it. So I just really, really highly encourage posting. And then in terms of homework, you are going to get some worksheets to go deeper with everything that we looked at today. In your coaching partner sessions, and by the way, if you're working with clients, I want you to start integrating all of this as well, right? So whenever I give like partner assignments, usually it can also just apply to the client work you're doing this week. So number one, I want you to experiment with mirroring, right? Mirroring truths, simple truths, like we looked at the beginning of our call today. I want you to continue working on reflecting hard truths. I want you to see if you can honor what is, find something in the session, honor what is, and also find something to celebrate. All right, with that, I'd love, before we wrap today, to hear any takeaways or any questions that you have on any of this. Star two. Christine.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. because I didn't put my hand up.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, somehow your hand was up there. Do you want to share anyway?
Obviously. part of me does. So for me, I must say, like, one of the big gifts of this whole training for me is really validating for me what I've already intuitively doing and allowing me to take it deeper and refine it and be intentional with it, which is really amazing and so helpful. And so today I would say one of the biggest ahas, because I do all of this with myself and my clients. But for me, around celebrating, when you asked the questions about how celebrating was handled when we were growing up, that there was a really big aha in there. Because for me, if I was celebrated, it was in order to shame my sister, right? Mm-hmm. If I celebrated, then it was acknowledged, but then a deficiency was brought up, right? It's like, you know, that's really great that you've got good grades, but why is your bed not made?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I've perceived that I'm very good at celebrating with my clients and helping them to internalize that. But I'm realizing that that piece for me, that that's where, because I would say I acknowledge myself and steps I've made, but I don't celebrate.
Yes. So I'm so glad that you're seeing this, Christine. And what you're bringing up is actually really important for all of us to understand as coaches. Another function of celebrating with our clients is giving our clients permission to be as big and as amazing as they would like to be. And in doing so, we are correcting patterns from our childhood that told them otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me on this?
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, great. All right. I know we're past 2:30, but I've got a couple more hands raised, and I'm going to take them. Who is this? 0444.
Hey, Joanna. It's Susan Booth Dufault.
Hey, Susan.
Hey. I was so struck with how I've known for some time because of my own work of my tendency to earn, to try to earn worth through productivity and accomplishing goals. But I never saw the link to my unwillingness to celebrate myself.
Mm.
And that was...
Yeah. Sometimes we just keep on doing more and more and achieving more and more, but it's meaningless, right? If we don't take that pause to celebrate. It's important for us, and it's important, this is a practice, and we're going to talk more about this later on in this program, but the vital importance of actually helping our clients pause to harvest all that they've grown and created, right? Instead of just looking for the next thing and the next thing, because then it becomes meaningless.
Right.
And we don't feel satisfied. And we're consistently beating ourselves up because it's like junk. The achievements become junk food that we don't really absorb as nutrition.
Like having a shelf full of trophies, but you don't care about a single one. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. So important. Good. And finally, Anne.
Hey.
Hi.
So... this was really powerful inner work today. It isn't like I didn't know that I was set up to not be able to embrace celebration growing up.
Yeah.
But being able to peel it apart and see that when others celebrated with me and my family, it became the new bar.
Yeah.
That you were only as good as your last success, and if it didn't meet or exceed that, it didn't really count. And so the basic day-to-day achievements are meaningless or maybe even detract because they aren't spectacular. But then there was also the, nobody likes a braggart, you're acknowledging your strengths, well, you're conceited. And so it really kind of became a weapon. I don't think it was intentionally a weapon, but it kind of became weaponized. So, like in the listening practicum yesterday, this dynamic where I cannot remember what I said about what I'm good at or feel like I can't articulate my strengths and what I'm good at, this gigantic block around being able to have the courage to be visible and to embrace my strengths and be proud of it in a way that would share it with people who could then benefit from what I have to offer, I feel like there's even more deeper work to do with this. And, yay, I have therapy tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm getting chills. I'm getting chills as you're speaking, right? Like,
but,
even
yeah.
when you just said, I can't speak about what I'm good at, like, what I heard there, Anne, was I was never allowed to.
Absolutely not. Yeah. It, that I was only as good as my most recent achievement, but I really better not let on that I know how good I am.
Yes.
Because that's somehow a terrible, terrible thing.
Yes.
But yet, my priority in coaching my clients is to make sure that they are well acquainted with their strengths and their assets mm-hmm. and how wonderful they are so that they can make the most of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So I'm so glad that you can see this first and foremost for yourself. And, of course, what you're sharing and what everybody's sharing, this is what's going to make us more masterful practitioners is understanding this range of human responses to these pieces, right? And then having, like, even the, anytime I ask journaling questions, these are great questions we can always ask our clients as well. So I'm so glad you're able to see that, Anne. Thank you
yeah.
for bringing
And I see that I don't pause enough when I'm honoring what is with people. I don't give them enough
yeah.
space to exhale. And that's just, that would be
okay,
the way.
Such a great little detail piece. That is going to make a big difference. I want you to play with that over the next couple of weeks and notice
mm-hmm.
what happens. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good, good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. So great. Please continue to post any takeaways or questions that you have in the Facebook group. Thinking about all of you. And we are going to have a practicum next week on creating awareness. So I'll see you all then. Have a great rest of your week. Bye.
The moderator has left.